Morning, boys.
Morning.
Let's go ahead and take prayer for us. Remind us of how you are to us. Lord, help us to understand, God, how to carry our cross. Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Okay. In the Septuagint, I think it's Psalm 115.
Jesus healed
then but then there's just the one who came back and worshiped the Lord. And I think Jesus said something about, is there no one except for this foreigner who's come back and to thank me? And I just think that's what I want to be like, is like the one who goes to God for all the good things that he's done for us. And just to be like that one, and just to be loyal to God, and be and respond to this second chance that he's given us to not be judged for our sins. Anyway, he says, "What shall I give back to the Lord for all he rendered to me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." He says, "I will take up the cup of salvation," which is kind of a weird way to say something. I'll take up the cup of salvation. And I was just thinking that that's just another way of saying that, well, for me, it's just saying, I'm going to do things God's way now. I'm going to take up whatever God's plan is, this way to salvation, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to go my way. Whatever this cup is, whatever I have to drink to be saved, to follow the Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And just like I think the first disciples, the apostles, they gave their lives to follow the Lord, and Jesus said that if we would want to be with God, want this salvation, want this goodness that God's offering us, want this second chance at life, that we would have to deny ourselves, and we would have to do things God's way, and so that's what this verse kind of means to me. It says, "What shall I give back to the Lord for all that he's done for me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his holy ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaid. You broke apart my bonds. I will offer a sacrifice of praise. I shall pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, and in your midst, O Jerusalem." So whoever was writing this psalm, it seems like they had an understanding of how much God had done for them. And I think sometimes we forget, sometimes it's hard to see all the things that God has done for us. But if we could see it, what God has done, then maybe we could be like the person that wrote this psalm and be just resolved to pay God back and just with our lives and just lay it all down and just try to put our whole hearts into it and just follow him. And, anyway, it's a good song. Okay. Let you boys go ahead and hear lessons from this week.
Our assignment for this week was to get a time to think of a time in our life when we had hardships and something good came out of it. But I was just going to say that compared to the Anabaptists and stuff like that, we really don't have that much hardships in this country. And we just, God helps us, and we don't have very bad hardships, and we need to just be thankful. And I thought about some punishments and hard work that I've done and stuff, but there's no glory in getting buffeted for your faults. So.
Amen.
I didn't get one about myself. I got one about somebody else I read about. There was a man, and he needed some help doing some things, and so he was going to choose some boys to do it. And he was testing them in a room to see if they were good, and they were there are a whole bunch of tempting things, such as like cherries that they didn't know were full of cayenne pepper and stuff. And they would find out, and he'd find out if they had meddled with anything. And one boy passed the test, and he got to work for the man till the guy died, and he paid him lots of money.
My parents said that we don't have hardships compared to people in the Bible like David and like the some of the prophets. We just shouldn't count ourselves in a bad position.
I got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's probably pretty hard for them to lay down their lives and not bow down to the idol. But then God spared their lives, and the king said everybody should praise the Lord.
Oh yeah, the same thing as the little boys did. I just thought about my mom, how she was raised in a pretty bad situation and been through a lot of things that some of us can't even imagine being through, and how God helped her turn around and see the truth and help us children.
I just thought of all the blinds and the cripples and the people who had demons in the Bible that Jesus healed. It's been pretty hard to live with. Had hard lives, but God used him for his glory, and he had a plan for it. So, it would have been hard, but they had a plan, I guess. Just not take things for granted, too. Like what the boys, Marcus's boys were saying. We don't really have hardships, but it's easy to take things for granted.
Thought about how people in other countries and the wars and stuff, they would just go through real bad times when they didn't have enough to eat, and when they just had to be hiding all the time, and just seeing all that and what we go through. What we go through compared to that just is nothing, really.
I thought about Fanny Crosby. Lost her sight when she was just 7 or 8 years old, and how she didn't let that, how she didn't get bitter about being blind. Blindness is something that I can't hardly even imagine, not being able to see anything at all. But she, instead of getting bitter about it, she let God use her and wrote a whole bunch of hymns that we still sing today.
The early settlers when they were coming over the ocean to America, they had to, it was really hard, and they lost some of their children, but then they were able to have religious freedom in America still.
I thought about the church when that was pretty hard on some of us, but after we got through it all, we became stronger in some areas that we weren't before.
Mom bought some CDs before we were on vacation, and there's this one that's called The Hiding Place, and it was when Hitler was trying to take over some country, and they were capturing Christians, and there's this family what was a watchmaker, and they were helping Christians come in their house and helping them, and then they found out about them, and they took the wife and the dad and the two sisters, and the sisters sent off to a prison camp. And they were, I mean, pretty bad situation. The beds were full of fleas, and they had to work really hard. And then our sister died there, and then the people turned her, let her go, and she went back to her house and started helping more people.
Paul and Silas were thrown in, beaten in public, and thrown in prison for not much good reason, and then while they're in there, they got the jailer to be converted.
I thought about Joseph in the Bible, and he had a pretty hard life, and then he became the second most powerful man in the land and saved his brothers and his father and his families from the famine in Egypt or in Israel.
For the assignment for the little boys, that we read that verse about taking up the cup of salvation. Maybe you boys can think of something or some ways how you can follow Jesus now. A way that a little boy can follow Jesus today. And then the big boys, if you could think of a difference in between a disciple of Jesus and, say, a religious Pharisee, and what a difference between that is, you know, or an example of the difference between really following Jesus versus religiousness. Does that make sense? Or a difference between a real disciple and a Pharisee.